We've been talking about the nature of saving faith. We've been talking about the works that repentance brings forth in the individual's life. We've talked about conversion, which means a turning around to go a new direction. And if you've never turned around to go a new direction, the direction of righteousness, you've never been converted and your sins have never been blotted out. Faith, we talked about in James chapter 2, has deeds. It has works. It has an evidence. And we saw from Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul gave us a contrast between two kinds of people. He said, those who continue in well-doing, seek for honor, glory, and immortality, they receive eternal life. They've gone a new direction. They've gone a new way, and they're continuing in that. And at the end of their faith, they will receive the prize. But there's the others who are contentious, who obey unrighteousness. And there will be indignation and wrath. There will be everlasting darkness. There will be eternally perishing at the end. And we need to understand that the redeeming work of Christ is a perfect work. And a lot of people really get confused because what is perfect and what is the eternal redemption, and what eternal redemption is the sacrifice that has been offered for the remission of our sins. But we also have to take into consideration as we look at the scriptures that it appears throughout the New Testament and the Old, that a person can turn away from God and turn away from that redemption. In the Old Testament, there was if a person turned away from the sacrifice and deliberately went into sin, then there was no sacrifice for sin. We see it also in Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter, 10 and 8. We must continue in the faith. We must realize that God has called our whole life or all of our life, that He's bought us and purchased us, that we're not perfect human beings, but He's done something through the new birth that has caused us to have a new nature, to go in a new direction. And you can take a pig and you can clean the pig, you can paint his hoofs, and you can put a bow on his head. But if you let him out of your house, as pretty as he looks, he will go to the mud hole. Why? Because he's a pig. That's the nature of a pig. And the Bible tells us clearly that fruit is evidence of conversion. That a person must show works meet for repentance. They must prove through their works that they've had a change of heart. We're not talking about works of the law. Works of the law is the righteousness that you would do, keeping the commandments, and all of these kind of things as a means of trying to be made right with God. No one will ever be saved by their own works of righteousness. They can never remove one of their sins through their works of their own righteousness or anything like that. The only way we're going to be saved is through the sacrifice of Christ. The thing of it is that people don't understand is that you can turn away from the sacrifice of Christ. That's what the whole book of Galatians is all about. You know, if you turn back to the law, it said in Galatians chapter 5, if you turn back to the law as a means of being justified, Christ cannot save you. You have fallen from grace. You see, that redeeming work was the grace of God that brings us salvation. But if we turn away from that sacrifice and turn to sin or turn some other direction, hey, we're in danger. And the Bible warns us over and over and over again. And I am so surprised that so many people in our religious churches today just think because they've said a little prayer, their life has never changed. They're continuing a lifestyle of sin and self-indulgence, and they think, because of their doctrine of the church, that in that day, there will be one of these religious people who will stand before the Lord and enter into the kingdom when Jesus said, "Depart from me, I don't know you, you who practice lawlessness, you who work iniquity." Paul calls us to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5-6. To see if we're in the faith, prove your own selves. Is Jesus Christ really living in you? 1 John says, here's how you know a child of God. Here's how you know a child of the devil. He who practices righteousness, repentance, and true faith is righteous. But those who practice lawlessness and sin is of the devil, for the devil was a sinner from the beginning and a liar. We need to think about these things and ask ourselves a question. Have we come to repentance? You know, the Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, even more than 99 people that don't think they need repentance. There's joy in heaven over the sinner who repents. The Greek tense is a sinner who repents and continues in repentance. You know, when we have these little phrases, E-T-H, at the end, like, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say whoever believes in him. It said whoever believeth. It's a continuation of faith until the very end. You know, I think right now, I was shocked, but I saw this in a documentary. I was really shocked when I saw Billy Graham and this certain individual that was a high-profile evangelist with Billy Graham that went into the United Kingdom and preached, and thousands and thousands of people were saved. And actually, this evangelist was more popular than Billy Graham. But you know what? He turned from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1 said, in the latter day, some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. You've got to be in the faith before you turn from the faith. And this man, which would have been the Billy Graham of our day, because he was more popular than Billy Graham, he turned away from the Christian faith until the very day that he died, he turned away from the Lord. That should be, in some people's doctrine, they would say, well, he was never saved and this and that, and they use all kinds of excuses to take the warnings out of the scriptures. But I want you to know there's warnings all through the book of Hebrews. There's warnings all through the book of Galatians. There's warnings in the book of James. There's warnings in Paul's epistles. There is warnings. And the personal pronoun we is used. I'm warning you and I'm warning myself. Run this race and run it to the end. We need to take our Christianity much more serious than what we have done. I just felt that I needed to bring out this point out of Hebrews chapter 10, because some of you may think that I'm teaching legalism or something like this. You know, let me tell you something. Jesus said the problem at the end of time will not be legalism. The problem at the end of time will be lawlessness. Because the love of many shall wax cold, because of iniquity shall abound, because lawlessness shall abound. Lawlessness is the problem at the end of time, and cause many to get cold towards the Lord. You know, there's a guy that was Paul's companion. It's very interesting to me. Paul's companion in 2 Timothy 4:10. Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Demas, a fellow laborer, companion that traveled with Paul, fell in love with the world and forsook the Lord and forsook Paul. A companion of the Apostle Paul. We need to exhort one another daily. We need to warn one another daily, lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin and depart from the living God. The warnings are all through the Bible. We need to be mindful of this. But I want to clarify something. I feel it's very needful that I clarify this. That it'll be the grace of God that will bring us into the presence of God and cleanse us from every sin. By grace we are saved through the kind of faith we've been looking at in the Scripture. But it will be the grace of God that will save us, because none of us can stand in our own righteousness. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to look with me for just a moment. I felt very necessary that I would just share this. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 14, it says, "For by one offering he," that is God, "hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Do you notice what's said right here in Hebrews 10, 14? By one offering. It didn't say by our good works. It didn't say by our charitable deeds. It didn't say by our doing the best we can. It says by one offering. That's the offering of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Christ when he went to that cross and died on a cross for our sins and was buried and rose again. By that one sacrifice, by that one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Man, a lot of people get a hold of that. Wow, by one offering, we've been perfected forever. By one offering, we've been perfected forever. It doesn't matter really what I do or anything else. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. By one offering, I've been perfected forever. But you need to read the rest of the verse. It says, by one offering, we've been perfected forever. Then it qualifies who they are. Them that are sanctified. Notice what it says in the NIV. It says, for by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. By one sacrifice, he's perfected forever those who are being made holy. What does that mean? That means those that are set apart to God. Without sanctification, no man will see God. Those that have repented, have true saving faith and true repentance that is going the direction of God, being set apart to God, that one offering that God made through Jesus Christ perfects them forever, those group of people that are set apart and going the ways of God through a true repentance and faith. But it's also applying It's also true that that one offering does not perfect forever those that are going a different direction, those who are not being set apart, those who are not being made holy, those who have not accepted God's rule, those who have not accepted God's reign, those who do not acknowledge that Jesus is their Lord, then that offering doesn't avail for them. Do you see that the offering that God has offered, which is the means of God's grace to save us, perfects us? Not our deeds, not anything that we have done, or anything that we can do. It's that offering that perfects us. But those that are perfected are those who have this true saving faith that we've talked about, those that have this true repentance that we've talked about. It says, I'm going to read it again out of the NIV, and the reason is the NIV says it this way, is because it's a present tense in the Greek, which means by one offering, he has made perfect forever those who are continuing to be set apart, continuing to be made holy, continuing in true faith, continuing in true repentance. They will be saved. And it'll be by the grace of God and the offering of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? That is not license. Oh, we can do what we want to. We've been perfected forever. No, you're perfected forever by that sacrifice. If we continue in faith and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I want you to consider these facts. I want you to consider the things that we've been teaching and things that we've been looked at because, you know, I just believe that, hey, I'm at a point in my life and ministry that I just need to be honest with people, and they need to examine the scriptures for themselves, and they need to read the scripture instead of just being conforming to their church doctrine and not getting the full counsel of God. We need to be honest. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And I don't take a verse and set it against another verse. I acknowledge this is true. And I acknowledge this is true. And sometimes I don't know how to put those things together very well, but it is God's Word. 1 Timothy 3:16, it's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. I must acknowledge it. I must say, I believe it. I must say, it is the Word of God. And I must conform myself to the truths of all the scriptures in the New Testament. I must not add to, and I must not take away. I must not deny the warnings. I must not say it doesn't apply. I must not say it applies to someone else. Please search the scriptures, for in them you will find the truth as God reveals by the illumination and power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. I don't want to walk, you know, I don't want to be found lukewarm, I guess I should say. I want to be burning hot. I want to be ready for the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to be the virgin that's waiting for my bridegroom, and I have the lamp. It's full of oil of the Holy Spirit. I want, when people are around me, and I am so hot, I am burning hot with Jesus Christ and with love and boldness of Christ. God grant us that boldness and that filling of the Holy Spirit to bring Jesus, the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, to a dying and perishing world. God bless you.